Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now.
I spent the most amazing 2 days.
Yeah? What was so amazing about it?
It was about uplift. It was my business coach that I had when I was fully operational. And he had a 2-day workshop over 200 people, about 100 online, and about 80 in the room. What he did was going into the mindset and also business, the give you one idea. We had Todd Herman. He's a Canadian who works in America, and he did a presentation on alter ego. Now, you'd understand this with your film background. And it was really interesting how you could create an alter ego and take it into any situation.
That's right.
So, which is brilliant because it's kind of like what I needed at the time. And then we had another guy in the afternoon who was the lead generation guy for Founder Magazine. He was the second hire that we ever did. And he sort of, he gave us a very simple way, a spreadsheet basically, on how to assess any lead generation idea. Because every marketer out there will tell you that theirs is the best, and it may not be the best for you.
Oh, okay. But that was would you do work with them and business with them if they told you they were sloppy seconds? Absolutely not. But I understand because on the reverse side of what you said originally is that when you initially meet someone, Marie, it is their representative. You're not meeting their true authentic self. I mean, because they've got to assess the situation. They're just not going to show their hand. They're not going to tell you who they really are. But we're going to tell them who you really are because we just got into this conversation and didn't even announce where we are. Brains, welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney. Brains here. This is the spot, the place where the conversation is pointed and the guests are sharp and the responses are never dull. And we have Maria. We were just into an engaging conversation about a 2-day workshop that she just went into. And as I was saying, you know, when people first meet you, you have to watch with a side eye because they are going to present their best. What is that saying? You never get a second chance to make a first impression. And now the world is coming in and they are bringing their representative and they're bringing their alter ego to the table. So you have to figure out who it is that you're actually working with, but also who it is you want to be. Now, Marie has been in the business industry forever. She's a trailblazer. I want her to tell us her story. She is talking to us today about some blockage, both personal and professional. She loves to do some Latin dancing. We're going to talk to her about that and her hobbies. She's in the land down under in Australia. And we want to really focus on mindset. People use that term all the time. You can't set your mind like a dial. You have to understand where you are, where you want to be, and what else is possible. Wouldn't you agree, Marie?
Oh, totally. Because that determines the outcomes that you're going to get. If you put up a resistance or you have fear, you're not going to put your best foot forward. And you need to put your best foot forward to get the outcomes that you want in life.
I'm glad to know that you are still, you know, I think you told me that you're semi-retired, but you are still engaging in what's going on out there and keeping your pulse, keeping the pulse of what's happening in the business world. What are you seeing? What are some of the trends?
Some of the trends that I'm seeing is there's a large uptake in individuals starting businesses up. people who've never created a business before. They've been employees. They've had someone else directing their work. However, they are highly skilled, really interesting people, and they have a lot of unique abilities that they bring into the world. But they need to understand what they don't know. And sometimes they run into problems. So working with someone who has been there before, done what they're attempting to do, can identify those issues, will help them get to the journey end faster and more effectively. Also, I'm finding that more women are entering the workforce as business owners. There's a larger uptake of those. More over 60% are actually women. So they're finding that because of COVID, women were more likely to have been fired or let go than men were, because the old traditional way of seeing men as the breadwinners, most businesses were looking at them first to stay on. So the women said, well, enough. We've already gone through the glass ceiling. It's about time we stepped up. And that's, right. They're the ones that are in businesses.
And no gender roles. The man can stay home and cook and watch the kids just as good as the woman can. But we still have such a disparity when it comes to equal pay for equal work. We have to fight for that, ladies. We have to go in and negotiate. You have to go in and do your market research before you ask for that raise, before you accept that offer. You got to know your worth, your value, what you bring to the table. You've got to be able to sort out the blockages and figure out what is going to work best for you. What would be some suggestions that you would give a person that's in that space, Marie?
First of all, I would tell them what my mother told me. You are as good as any man. You don't need to be better than them, which is what a lot of us think to be able to get forward. We just need to give the job the best that we can, get the outcomes that the client or your boss wants, and do it to the best of our ability. To go in there with that positive attitude, the belief that you know what you're doing, because you do. Do the best that you can, because that's the only thing that you bring to the table, your best self.
That's right. And be open to learning new ideas. Oh. Keep your ear to the ground. Mimic and watch what your male counterparts are doing or not doing. Cross-promote yourself, cross-reference, understand what other people are doing. Be a team builder, be a team player. There's no I in team. You cannot do it alone. I think these are key elements, and the element of kindness. You know, we're not crabs in a barrel, always trying to pull somebody down. We want to lift our brother and sister up. I want to lift my brother and sister up to the point where they can, you know, take over and I can retire.
I know that feeling.
So tell them a little bit about your history and all of the great accomplishments that you've made in the business world.
I've had a very diverse and very varied background. I started out in the UK because that's where I'm originally from. I came out to Australia when I was 20. But when I first started at work, I was 16 years old. And you know what some 16-year-olds can be like? They're in know-it-all. Mm-hmm. I was placed in a situation about 6 months into work where I was to become the face of the Regional Careers Program. They didn't tell me that's what I was going to do. They told me that was what I was to help with. The first assignment was to go and help Father Christmas, and that was the name of the priest running the program. Not Santa,
that's Santa Claus for you, for you Americans. That's Santa Claus. Their Father Christmas is not Santa Claus.
His name was actually Father Christmas. He wasn't actually Santa Claus. But he took me to a school with over 1,000 children in it, and it happened to be my old high school.
Wow.
And the it was interesting because the principal came out, he had a big grin on his face, and he said, "I always knew I'd get my own back on you." And I thought, well, how are you going to get your own back on me? I'm just here sort of fetching and carrying for the boss here. But he went back, he turned around, went back out onto stage where I could now see we were in the auditorium and all the kids in the school were there. And he said, "We've got a great day today. We have a representative from the Regional Careers Program giving a 40-minute presentation on careers in the 60s. Put your hands together and welcome Marie Drummond." Wow. And I got shoved on stage. And it was, I do not remember any word I said, even today.
Wow.
But I did do the presentation. 40 minutes, I just told them what it was like to go to work. And I got a standing ovation. The principal wasn't very happy. When I turned around and looked at him, it was like, oh, damn, I didn't get my own back. She actually crushed it. And that was the start of the public speaking. I was at the time working in as a management trainee. But then I got married. And like most women, I didn't think about a career. I thought about having children, have the house, the cottage, the picket fence. So I just left the management field and went into secretarial work. But that didn't stay for long because the universe always throws you back where you need to go. And it put me into another role where I was running a sales team. Again, a fluke. So I think one of the things I found, April, is that Richard Branson, who's the owner of Virgin Airlines, he says in one of his talks, if an opportunity is presented to you, say yes and work out how you're going to do it afterwards. So most of my career worked along those lines. I would say yes. Can you do this, Marie? Oh, yes. And then I'd go and work out how to do it. It was a bit off the cuff. It was a very unusual sort of move forward. But what it did was give me a training across anything from IT to sales to PR to advertising, setting up an accounts department, a procurement department, running sales teams, even running a manufacturing plant.
Now, are you degreed? Do you have multiple degrees, a doctorate and master's degrees?
I have a degree in a double degree in marketing and law. I didn't take that until I was in my mid-30s.
Okay.
Because I got to a certain stage and I thought, oh, I need to have a degree to move forward. And I'm doing the degree and people are saying to me, why are you actually going back to studying? You're way beyond that. So we have these mindsets that this is what we need before we can move forward. And it's not necessarily true. Absolutely. I found it interesting. Degrees are about learning to learn. So right. That's what they're teaching and when you're at university.
And retaining old information. They don't give enough credit to innovation. They don't give enough credit to forward progressive thinkers as to where they are. When you go and, you know, you're in tons of debt and you can't even get a job in your field here in the United States, a lot of times it's oversaturated or you found that you were bored with it. They never take the time to do the internship. They never take the time to find a mentor. They don't do the research. And jobs, colleges don't prepare you. They prepare you for the workforce. But they don't prepare you to actual work and interview. Would you agree?
Totally. The system that's used basically worldwide today for education of our children was designed in 1928. And it was designed for the Prussians, for the Hussars, in educating them. It's about the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't prepare you for the world out there. what does prepare you is the ability to think differently, to believe in yourself, in what you are seeing. And the millennials are very much in this space. They walk in, they have a belief that they can move up very fast, that they can assess a job within a couple of 3 to 6 months, and they can get promoted. When baby boomers would have thought that you had to stay in that job your entire life.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I was reading in the Wall Street Journal that the average person stays at a company now, if they're lucky, 5 to 8 years max. It used to be you get in a company and, I mean, you were ingrained in it. You had a vested interest and you were going to be there 20 years till retirement. Now people are not able to take advantage of that. Acquisitions, moving, they're bored, their skill set, they age out. There's so many different things that are going on. That's why I always encourage people to, maybe if you don't want to be a full-on entrepreneur, but still be able to develop a multiple revenue stream of income in case you walk in there and they give you a pink slip, right?
Oh, definitely. You've got to have more than one basket full of eggs, because you don't know. And even entrepreneurs need the same thing. If you have one lead generation for your business, mm-hmm. from one platform, say it's on Facebook. If Facebook changes the algorithm, you're done and dusted. So having multiple strings to your bow is definitely the way to go forward. I found most of my career, my work was, once I got into corporate troubleshooting, was between 2 to 6 months. So I wouldn't be in a company more than 2 to 6 months, not in the same role. I might be in a big blue chip, one of the Fortune 50s, and I would be moving around different departments from one end of the company to the other. A year later, I could be in a completely different industry in a different country on a different continent.
Okay, so give some suggestions to a person that wants to move within the confines of an organization. Say it's a big manufacturing plant. My suggestions are, is number one, network. Get to know the people that you are working with and be friendly. Go down the hall. Look at them, smile, good morning, how are you? You don't have to have lunch with them every day, but let them know that you are open. People are drawn to you. If you come in with this scowl on your face, you never make eye contact, you have this tight body language, nobody wants to be bothered with you. They're not going to share anything with you. Once you get in there, then start having a conversation. Look around, look at the structure of the organization. I knew everyone from the CEO to the janitor, Marie. Because you never know who you're going to need. The accounting person, the manufacturing person, logistics, shipping. You don't know who you're going to need. And learn what you can learn from them to take that skill set with you in case you have to pack up your desk. You have more than just a few papers and pencils, correct?
Oh, definitely. The janitor probably knows more about what's going on in the company than some CEOs, because they see it from every aspect. They're the unseen person wandering through, the same as the cleaners, the old tea ladies, if any of the companies have still got those. If you want information, they've probably got most of it.
Oh, yeah.
If not those, then the secretaries, because they're the ones that are doing the gopher work for the management team that they still see. They do have brains. They have a unique talent of identifying what those managers need before they think they need it. So looking at where is it you want to go? Who are the influencers in making decisions in that area? Make sure that they know about you and what you can do. It may not even be the same job as what you're doing. When I was working with corporate troubleshooter, I found that a lot of people were square pegs in round holes. They had brilliant talent, but they were in the wrong job in the organization. So when I was upsizing or downsizing, they'd be first to get moved around. Because I believe that every single person is a thread in the fabric of the universe. We bring our own talents, our unique gifts, our unique perspective, our unique experience and expertise to the table. And if you don't utilize that, what happens when you pull a thread out of a piece of fabric?
It unravels. And if
you pull enough, it unravels. It starts to fray and it starts to build in it. So when you don't step up and be everything that you can be, the thread of the fabric of your community, your culture, your country, and then the connection to the rest of the world unravels.
Yeah, we have a commercial here, and it says something to the effect that it's the fabric of your life. You're weaving it together. So, Marie, you've had some tough jobs, too. You had to go in and be the cleaner. Yeah, and that's what we call her. You know, she's had to work with organizations when they have restructured and they have had to outsource. Tell us a little bit about the tenderness and what you bring to the table as far as the people that are staying, the people that are leaving, and the people that are moving in.
My approach to that was I'd never take one of those assignments where you had to walk in within 48 hours to a week and fire a mass amount of people. That is cruel to the individuals that have to leave. It's cruel to the people that have to stay. It is toxic to the company because it leaves a sense of the people that are there still. Oh my God, am I next? They don't put their best foot forward. So my approach was it had to be an assignment of a minimum of 2 months, generally 2 months to 6 months. The company wanted to downsize and they needed to do it quietly. That was when they used to bring me in. The employees never actually knew that the company was going to be downsized. Mm. The way I would do it, I would be given the brief of the outcomes that the client would want. And it could say be a 50% downsize. I would then be handed all of the hierarchy charts. Now, most troubleshooters, when they're walking into that environment, will just go through the org chart and say, okay, this role doesn't need this one, this one, this one. And whoever's sitting that role just gets fired. But that may not be the best way for the company. What it may need is a slight reshuffle. But before you can reshuffle, you need to determine who doesn't fit the future culture of that company, way the company wants to move forward.
Right.
They're the ones that have to leave first. So the way I handled those was I would have previously been given all of the HR profiles of these people, their files. So I knew who they were. I knew what roles they were doing, what skill bases they had. But that wasn't going to get me the information I wanted. So say April, you were in that company and I knew you were someone that was going to have to leave because you weren't going to fit the roles that we had available plus the culture of the company. I would have an office. Everybody would be told I was just an external consultant. And generally, external consultants are not asked what they do. Mm-hmm. Because they're special projects and sometimes you can't be told what they are. Mm-hmm. So people didn't question me and what I did. I'd bump into you at the tea trolley or the tea room. You would think that was something it was ad hoc. But then I had planned that. I had been watching and waiting for you to get up from your desk to go somewhere. It could have been the photocopier machine, the tea trolley, it just happened to be that day. And I'd walk up next to you, oh, hi, my name's Marie.
Being friendly.
And I put my hand in. So I start chatting to you. So the first time it was all about intro, letting you know who I was, getting an introduction to you, mm-hmm. and just a general chat, wander away. Can't do too much first up because otherwise you start getting a bit, you know, this one's a bit forward and you're backing off. There's resistance. The next time, it might be the photocopying machine. Oh, hello, April. Remember meeting you a few days ago. So what do? I already know what you do, but I'm establishing a chat and a rapport with you. Mm-hmm. So you start chatting. Next time I'll say, oh, do you really like what you're doing? Is there something else you would have rather done? What I'm trying to find out is, what are your dreams? What are your aspirations? And when you finally tell me that, and you do, I had quite a network of people in companies all over the world, definitely in your hometown. And I would go away and think, oh, okay, I know what she could do. And I would ring a fellow colleague up. I've got someone I think could help you out. Okay, send her along. So I'd come back. Hey, April, there's an opportunity. I've just had a call with a mate of mine. And remember you were telling me that you wanted to do this? Yes. Well, he said that when I told him about you, get her to give me a call and let her come and talk to me. Right. You'd come back a couple of days later and say, Marie, I'm really sorry. It's been great knowing you, but I've taken a job elsewhere because you've been offered the job of your dreams.
And it was because you're looking, you're taking that extra step. Again, like you said, a lot of people that are in this industry that helped in the transition just look at how to get rid of the excess weight. They look at the corporate culture moving forward because they're going to have to come back in and consult and work with that, but also change the culture of the management. They think they want one thing until they get in there and find out that, you know, oh, you let Betty go and she had 10 years of great experience. But you're also giving the person that has to leave an opportunity to find a new career. You're networking with them. And I think that's very powerful. That's very caring. That's very socially responsible. Because you know that these people have to eat. They have to pay a mortgage. They have kids. There's a responsibility. We have to have a social responsibility or your business is not going to thrive.
Totally agree, April. And you've also got friends that you would have made over those years in the company. They would feel heartbroken to see you not have the work, see you lose your house because you couldn't pay the mortgage, right. See your children pulled out of a private school because you couldn't afford it anymore, or they couldn't go to a camp that they hoped to go to. Or go away on spring break.
But you know what else happens, Marie? It breaks their spirit because yes. You poured everything into this organization and you just absolutely knew that you were going to get that promotion, that you were going to get that extra stock option, that you were going to be able to travel. And what you got was a pink slip. So now, you know, you're in a quandary and sometimes it takes people down this rabbit hole. Drugs and alcohol, abuse, it can just spiral out of control. That's where the mindset comes in. Tell us how you incorporate mindset.
Mindset, we need to determine what people are actually dealing with. And sometimes they don't know what they don't know. One of the techniques that I've used in helping with people when they find that they've hit a blockage is a technique called the seven whys. You can ask someone, why is this not working for you, April? And they will come back with an answer. Then you go back, utilizing the wording in their answer. Say it was, I don't have enough experience in that. Why do you think you don't have enough experience in that, April? Mm-hmm. And you keep going down.
How much experience do you think you need? Because every position, there's a learning curve.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you do have the amount of experience, but because of something you've experienced in the past has made you believe you're not good enough. And when you go down the seven whys, each time they respond, you utilize the words in their response to ask another why question, using why do you believe that, or why is that the case? Each time you go down, you will find more and more. It's like peeling an onion, the layers down. And then suddenly, at around the seventh why, they get the aha moment. Ah, it's not about me not having enough experience. It's about my belief. And the belief comes from this place.
Well, once, and then they sometimes have that knowledge, but sometimes that belief has to be reality that you don't have the skill set, that you don't have the education that's required. Okay, so then what you do is you go to plan B. What's next? What do I have? Sit down and chart it. Sit down and think about it. Go over your past reviews that you've had. Most people get their review and throw it in the trash. I want to get the opinion of what my boss thinks. Good, bad, or indifferent. It's a way of letting me know what I am projecting to the outside world. And if I need to modify that, if I need to go and get different certifications, if I need to move in a whole different career, that's okay. I love things like Myers-Briggs, where you go in and you can really kind of profile yourself to see what is fun, what is interesting, and what your personality type aligns with your job. Because you need to be happy if you're going to be there 40 plus hours a week away from your family. And you're going to have to be a pleasant, I keep telling y'all to be pleasant and be nice, because they won't keep you. They'll create a coup and they'll get rid of you. And you could have been there for 20 something years and have a nasty attitude, and this might be their way to out you. So you want to think about that as well. But let's change the subject a little bit and talk about your love of dancing. How did you get into Latin dancing, of all things?
I've always been a dancer. My parents taught me the jive and the jitterbug when I was really young. But then I moved down to New Zealand for a while. I divorced. I was looking at a new life. I was the eternal teenager in my 40s. So I had friends that were much younger than me, who loved to dance too. And I saw this advertisement for Latin dancing. I thought, hey, how about we go along to see that? And it's street Latin. It's not ballroom Latin. So it's the Latin, a dancing that they do in South America. The salsa, the merengue, the bachata.
Right. But it's a lot of freedom in movement. You're able to express yourself. You know, you're holding on tight, you're letting go, you're spinning, you are engrossed in the music. Life is a dance, brains. You have to be able to move with the flow. You got to hold on to it. You got to let it go. You got to spin. You got to dip. It's a dance, and it's a delicate dance. And I'm glad that you have all of these key elements, your tenderness, your ability to be flexible, your movement, and your care and compassion for people being in this space. I think you could be a valuable consultant to any organization, mid or small or large organizations, because they need someone to come in with this skill and expertise. This is from a caring, compassionate place, brains. This is not just from a headhunter that's coming to just slice and dice and get rid of people, because she cares about what she leaves behind, the individuals that have to leave, but as well as the organization. Her credibility is on it.
Thank you for that, April. Definitely. What I wanted to do, and you were the one that inspired me to start again.
Thank you.
I retired because I'd gone into a bit of an overwhelm, and I turned to my other love, which was interior design. I trained as an interior designer for personal interest. So I started renovating my home. after about a year of that, and there's only so much that you can renovate and redecorate, I thought, what next? I was bored. Mm. I needed that intellectual conversation. And then lo and behold, April contacted me.
Oh.
And she said, I think the world needs that talent.
They do.
Think about it, Marie. And oh, I did. Thank you, April, for that.
Well, thank you. Thank you for coming in and sharing, because again, you brought in a fresh perspective. See, another thing, brains, let me tell you something, you corporate people here. You need to look at the more seasoned individuals that have been there and done that. Millennials are great, but the loyalty and dedication and mindset is different. I don't know how dedicated they are to building your corporation for the next 20 years. Again, the Wall Street Journal says 5 to 8. But you look at somebody like Marie that is mature, that's going to show up on time, that's going to be respectful, that's going to be a critical thinker, and is going to be an independent contributor to an organization. These millennials want to work from their phone. They want to work from a tiny house. They want to work from an airplane. They don't want to be there in the office. And COVID taught us all of that. So now you need to have a virtual mobile presence. Marie can work anywhere on the planet and help you get a clear understanding, because she knows what to put in place. And you want your corporations to survive. But again, you're going to have to do that delicate dance between who's there, who's leaving, the millennials, the mindset of your government and establishment, because they're ultimately going to be the ones, you know, to tax you or keep you in business. I mean, look at social media. It's all over the place. Regulations here. Zuckerberg was fined $1 billion. $1 billion. And so people get mad at him because he lowers the algorithm or he sells ads. Well, really, brains, he has 2.9 billion people under his Bengali, under his abracadabra. And you think he's just going to walk away and just leave that on the table? Well, something's wrong with you. But what you want to do is you want to mimic that. You want to look at what other successful people have done. Put that in your arsenal. Work with great people like Marie. Even if she's doing, you know, one or two clients. Could you imagine how much value she could bring to an organization? I just thank you so much, Marie, for being here on the edge and sharing your expertise and your skill and your want and your desire to still be a part of this. Because you don't have to. You could sit there and just enjoy Latin dancing and a good margarita and a pretty dress. You don't have to do it. So I'm glad that you're doing it. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you so they can work with you.
Okay, you can find me on LinkedIn under Marie Drummy, and also on Facebook. I've set up a new Facebook group called the Entrepreneurs Club. And what I want to do in that is use some of the troubleshooting background that I've got. It's going to be the entrepreneur's hot seat. So you get an opportunity to get on the hot seat with me live, and I can help you sort through some of the issues that you're dealing with. What we will do is I will send with April so it will be in some of the show notes on the contact details of how to find that and how to put an application forward to join me on a hot seat. There will be some strict rules around it, because the group will be what goes on in the group stays in the group. So it's not something that people are going to chat about outside of the group. It'll allow you to be a bit vulnerable. You can also have one-on-one session. Yeah, that are not in the group too. And again, I will provide April for the show notes with that information.
And Brain, she's already told you she knows everybody on the planet. She's like me. She's a networker. And I mean, when you talk to people like this and you do things, like I said, like Myers-Briggs and personality profiling, you would be surprised. Like, I did it, and they told me that I would be a great police officer, or I would be a great social worker. And I thought about both of those, and it really fell in line with my characteristics. Now, I don't know how good I'd be carrying a gun around, because we get these guns here. But I could understand the negotiation and the tolerance and the discipline and the structure. All of that fit right in line with what I'm doing. And so go in, take advantage of this, brains. It can't hurt. Again, she's offering it to you. Learn something new. This is the year of the great resignation. So many people do not want to go back to work, but you still have to eat. And going back to an organization is not a bad thing. You know, there's days that I wish I could just go to work, come, you know, get off, cash my check, get my vacation and fine, instead of trying to work like a Hebrew slave to build an organization, something that's going to be sustainable, renewable, respectable, and pay me. So you have to really kind of look at really where your values are. Thank you so much, Marie, for being here with me on The Edge. I appreciate you. Keep me posted as to what's going on, because we're going to play this over and over again. I want people to know. I want them to be excited about work, because you're going to have to do it, either for yourself or for an organization.
Thank you for today, April. It's been great talking to you. And thank you for the inspiration that you are.
You are. Thank you so much. Brains, go in there and do another job. I need you to love, like, and share. Here it is, right in your face, right? Nice and clear. Love, like, and share here on The Edge. This is the place where you get the information that you need to grow, to learn, or learn how to resign and live a good life. Talk to you soon, Marie. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.